This is the life that I was born into. Ooh, this is the truth. So what you gonna do? Ooh, true.
Welcome to Mixtape. This is where talent and story collide to speak on a variety of topics surrounding sex. Nothing is left unturned as God's grand design as a sex maker is revealed. I'm Jason Sochnick, Executive Director for Project 619. On this tape, I'm joined by Caitlin Andrews, an educator and church planner from Guatemala. We are also joined once again by spoken word poet Nathaniel Arroyo and Joey Berrether. We all have these dreams to do something more, to go beyond the world we know and enter into a world we only see on TV or in the movies. Nathaniel had some of these same dreams when he was young.
When I was a child, I wanted to be an astronaut, rapper, president of the United States, leader and activist and professional chess player. You see, back then, it was also easy. It was as if life was a playground full of superheroes and good guys, and if any villain or bad guy would come into the scene, they would meet the power of fun and be changed. I would be the chief hero of them all. Any sad person, I would comfort them. If anybody was stuck in a burning building, I would burst through the flames quicker than any firefighter, blow a gust of wind, get rid of the danger, and lead that person to safety. You see, my imagination was the building blocks to my reality. In each scene, I was the good guy. The man with the S on my chest, I was good. And I don't know if this idealism came from the fact that I perceived something to be inherently wrong with the world and it was in need of my assistance, or if it came from the fact that I believed something was inherently wrong with me and I needed to prove myself worthy of being better. You see, as I grew older, men and women told me stories of broken relationships, failed accomplishments, and dirty laundry so foul Mr. Clean would have resigned from his occupations, but those were just stories, right? I never thought I would play the villain or the victim. Failure was never in my vocabulary. Being broken was okay as long as if I knew how to quickly put myself back together again. Why would I ever feel the muck of guilt and shame? I was good. So tell me, why does it hurt to be vulnerable? Do you want to know how I got these scars? You see, this one on my elbow came from having way too much fun that I forgot about my surroundings. This one on my hand came from getting way too close to the fire. I don't remember how I got these cuts and bruises on my legs, but this one over my heart, I ain't really give myself that one. It was actually given to me. I know I shouldn't really be bragging. This shouldn't be about me. I was good, right? I don't need your help. This is normal, right? Life is supposed to be messy, and who are we to tidy a house that isn't ours? Please, somebody tell me that I'm good. Please, somebody tell me that I'm enough. That villain isn't the person in the mirror. Stop looking at the stains of my soul. I just want to be good. I ain't even trying to be bad. And whenever I try, I fail to do the very thing I desire. And right now, I am very weary. There are days where I need to be reminded that I'm not always a superhero. And that is okay. I need saving too.
Shame is this thing that if you let it fester, communicates things about you that are simply not true. Shame in its most potent form communicates, I am a mistake. But this fact refutes the truth found in Scripture. You are valued and created with worth far better than any jewel. Yes, we can make a mistake, but we are not the mistake. To talk further about shame, here's Joey.
Recovering from shame was a really long process, actually. So the first step was finding solidarity in others who struggled with porn. So some of my college buddies and I started a small group, and it was the first time I'd ever shared with others that porn was a part of my life. It was the first time I heard other people say they struggled with the same things that I did, and it broke this concept that I had that I was the worst, you know, that no one could be struggling more than I had, or look at things worse than I had. And so it was really freeing for me to know that other people were in the same place that I was. Isolating ourselves in our struggle with porn only continues to breed shame and further our isolation. It's cyclical. The more that we have the shame, the more that we isolate, which leads to more of the shame because we're not sharing what it is that we're struggling with, and we're continuing to bury those things rather than bringing them into the light. And this breaks when we enter into community with others and bring out our struggles into the light, where they can no longer hold the same power over us. The shame I experienced made me strive to earn the love, approval, and acceptance of God and of others. When I realized for the first time that my identity wasn't in my struggle, that I was a beloved child of God who is already accepted and loved, things continued to change for the better. The more that I continued to root myself in my relationship with Christ and my new identity and be vulnerable with others about my struggle, the harder it was for me to believe the lie that I am my struggles, that porn defines me and that I will never change. There's always others who have the same struggle. Isolation only hurts. Community with others can only help. Bring that addiction into the light, name it, call it out for what it is, and start from there. Your identity is in so much more than pornography. You are not defined by that struggle. You are loved, valued, and accepted exactly where you are at.
You might remember Caitlin from our previous tape on pornography. Well, the journey and her use of pornography took her on also created a door for shame to step in. But this is not her identity. No, her identity is found in Christ, but remembering that can sometimes be difficult.
Shame. There's no easy way to escape shame. It is possible, but it takes a daily decision to die to the wants of your flesh. Along my journey, I have learned that not only do you have to make the decision to say no to the shame daily, but it comes with a reward, a deeper connection and relationship with Christ. In the daily battle is where I find that I grow deeper. The riches that I find when I seek are immeasurable and well beyond worth the struggle. The battle is rough, but the riches are worth it. Do I wish I could go back and change things? Maybe, but I wouldn't trade the lessons I've learned and the deep experience I have had for anything. Shame is powerful, but Christ has already won the victory.
Mixtape is brought to you by Project 619. Do you have a story you want to share? Check us out on the interweb and help illuminate true life and true relationship by getting involved. Go to www.project619.org/illuminate. That's www.projectsix19.org/illuminate. Thanks for listening to Mixtape. Coming up on the next tape.
Singleness is so underrated, in my opinion, and you're told that it's something to be embarrassed of. So often, people put relationships on this pedestal as if it was the marker that you've made it. Or what's worse is when I hear people say that they aren't ready to be in a relationship. But my question for you is, when will you ever be ready? To me, this diminishes singleness down to something like a JV team where you feel the need to just always be striving. And I think that we fall into the trap of believing that once you work hard enough, then you can get promoted to being in a relationship.